day with all prayers and supplication, not knowing what to pray for. We just trust that you sent your Son, Jesus Christ, into this world to die for us and our sins. And it's all paid for. The only thing that's going to keep us out of heaven is our unbelief. We just pray that if somebody is lost in here today, they'll trust the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. And for everyone else, we just pray that the saints will be edified by the preaching in here today. In Jesus Christ's name, amen. Now, what I want to talk to you about today is the preeminence in the preaching of the Lord Jesus Christ, the risen Savior. Now, you can preach Jesus Christ in the flesh. It ain't going to do you any good as far as salvation goes. It's the risen Savior. He is alive and well, alive more than he has ever been alive. Remember something. He didn't come down here to show you how to live. He came down here to die for you. Praise God. Is that not true? If he didn't die, you're headed to hell. Now, if you're a non-believer in here, you're no different from an atheist or an Islamic person who believes in Allah. If you're lost, you're lost. Now, how can you be saved? We're going to be talking about that as we go through. How about going to Romans? We're going to go through a lot of scriptures in a minimum amount of time. So, I'd like for you to go to Romans chapter 15, verse 8, real quick. And while I'm doing this, I'd like to ask you, if you would you please pray for an individual out of the Pensacola area? He got saved under Brother Moore's ministry. His name is Donnie Hobbs, and he is in bad shape. And he's been like this for years, but now his kidneys have just failed him. He got out of the hospital yesterday. And the thing of it with him, he knows God's grace is sufficient. He's told Lisi that so many times. He's told me that so many times. But the thing of it is, I pray for God's will to be done in this case. The man needs to be at rest with the Lord. He is in pain. So if you would, pray for God's will in this case with Donnie Hobbs. Now, in Romans chapter 15, verse 8, Paul writes this, "Now I say that Jesus Christ was a minister of the circumcision for the truth of God to confirm the promises made unto the Father." He's not confirming anything to you as far as prophecy goes. We're in a mystery period. If you know how to study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth, you know this mystery we're in. There's no prophecy taking place right now. But it will again after the rapture takes place. But we're in a mystery dispensation. The body of Christ, the spiritual, invisible body of the Lord Jesus Christ himself. So I wanted you to see that Jesus Christ was walking around on the face of the earth down here for the circumcision to fulfill the promises of the fathers. But he didn't do that for us. We shouldn't follow any man, the scripture tells you, after the flesh. Is that not true? Absolutely. So why are people preaching this? I see churches all the time. It's got grace on it. Grace. You got to watch what you go into. You got to watch who is preaching to you. And this is why it's so important for the preeminence of the preaching of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, in Colossians 1:8 it says, "He is the body, he is the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, and that in all things he might have something." What is it? The preeminence, the highest. He is the highest and should be with utmost respect. It's God's righteousness that's placed upon Jesus Christ to give to us. And the moment we trust Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, that's exactly what happens. Your position in Christ is 100% righteous as God Almighty Himself. But your everyday walking around condition is a little different. I see you standing out here. And I know in the body of Christ, there's no male. I see males out here. No females. No bond, no free. No Jew, no Greek. It's a spiritual, invisible church. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 23, "We preach Christ crucified," Paul says. That's what all gospel preachers are going to do. But back to that grace. I was on the internet, and that's something else that you need to take a look at. Some of you are my Facebook friends in here. But I'm going to tell you something about Facebook. I get so aggravated with Facebook. You got people in there that cause divisions amongst the brethren. Amen. Ain't I right, Jerry? Absolutely it is. It's a good thing and it's a bad thing. Some of you, and a buddy of mine, Mike McClathery out of Illinois, he goes in and he's excellent at responding to some of these things. Well, I don't like to respond. I like to talk to you. I don't like sitting there hitting the keyboard. But there's people out there that you should just unfriend. Get it over with. Spend time with fellow believers. That's what communion's about. That's what fellowship is about. Amen. My gosh, no divisions in this Bible. The Bible tells you what? Get away from them. What have fellowship between Belial and Jesus Christ and light and darkness? Nothing. Back to where we're at. You know, there were a bunch of true gospel preachers at one time. The first in the pattern was who? Paul, the Apostle Paul. But there were also Silas and Apollos and Barnabas, Timothy and others. We preach Christ crucified, and that's why it's so important to preach Him in the preeminence of who and what He is. He is God manifest in the flesh. Because in John 1 it says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Is there any doubt that Jesus Christ was God in the flesh? No, there is no doubt. Not if you believe the King James Bible. There is no other true Bible. Marcion, Gnostic, Plato. We'll get into the Alexandrian occult some other time. But a man must not, you heard me, must not be considered a faithful gospel preacher unless he preaches Christ crucified, buried, and resurrected from the dead on the third day for your justification. Anything else is a lie. It's called another gospel. There is no other way to be saved. Is there? Okay. Do you know you can preach a Christ-centered gospel and still bust hell wide open? Peter preached a Christ-centered gospel. But we preach Him crucified, buried, resurrected from the dead on the third day for your justification and my personal justification. You know, I got in a conversation with somebody in one of my classes, and as a matter of fact, it was this morning. And I said, you can believe that Christ was crucified, buried, and resurrected from the dead, like I always have believed, prior to getting saved. But I was lost. You know, the first man that I know of that tagged that as a lost believer was Brother Moore. Now, he might not have been the first, but that's the first one that I heard. I just couldn't believe that. It was so hard for me to understand rightly division. How can this man be right? He's preaching something that's 180 degrees off from what I was raised with. Needless to say, I was lost. You got a problem understanding the Bible? Get saved. That really is what it is. I want to draw something up here. I usually start off every class with this. Christ crucified, buried, resurrected from the dead on the third day for your justification. That's it. That's the center. That's what a faithful gospel preacher is going to tell you. And if he doesn't tell you that, get away from him. Get away from him. Just like I was telling you, I was looking on the internet and I was looking up Grace Churches, and it popped up this Grace Church. I'll tell you the name in a moment. And their great commission was Mark 16, 15 and 16. Had grace up there, the first word. So what are you supposed to believe? You're supposed to get into the Scriptures and find out if I'm telling you the truth. And I'm telling you, if you've got a teacher in here and a preacher in here that you go listen to, you better check them out. Amen. I don't care if you've listened to him for 30 years. You go check him out. He's a human. He's subject to mistakes. But sometimes pride gets involved in the thing. Filthy lucre gets involved in the thing. Some people take it as an occupation. They might as well go out and get a job as a truck driver or a machinist or something. Because they shouldn't, as Brother Obed said, be in the pulpits. How about going over to 1 Corinthians 15? And you know this by heart, but you need to see it. One thing that I like is to preach it. You look at it, and usually we draw it on the board. So 1 Corinthians chapter 15. There's one thing you're going to hear out of this service, and hopefully you'll hear it from every grace preacher here. That's the gospel of the grace of God. You shouldn't get up in front of a bunch of people trying to pretend you're a preacher if you do not tell them the gospel. Jerry, you've heard that from Brother Moore, didn't you? And it sinks in. I had a preacher who's now a preacher. He was in my class in Pensacola. And he got up there and he did one of the best services I've ever heard. But he left something out. He left the gospel out. And after the break, I told him, I said, you know what you left out? No. I said, you left the gospel out. And you know what? He's never left it out again. It made such an impression upon him. It wasn't me. It was the conviction of the Holy Spirit that made the conviction upon him. He's never forgot it again. And he makes sure. Chapter 15, verse 1. Moreover, brethren, Paul writes, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also you have received and wherein you stand, by which also you are saved. Go to verse 3. For I, Paul, delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that He was buried, and that He rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. Can you, do you ever get tired of hearing that message? If you do, you need to check your faith. I've had people that says, hey, preach us some meat. That is the meat. There ain't nothing more important than this entire Bible than your salvation. You only get it through that gospel right there. You know, I don't want to muddy the water, but I've got to tell you this. In Romans chapter 2, verse 16, Paul calls this gospel my gospel. But he was talking about the gospel of Christ. The gospel of Christ was written to the Jew first and also to the Greek. The people in the covenants of promise, and nobody in here has ever been in the covenants of promise. The gospel you're saved under is my gospel also. They're equal. But it's to everybody now, not just to the Jew and not just to the Greek. It's everybody, and it's called the gospel of the grace of God and the dispensation of the grace of God. Amen. He says it three times in Romans 16:25 when he's talking about the mystery that Jesus Christ revealed unto him. How that Christ was crucified, buried, and resurrected from the dead on the third day for your justification. Yes. And also in Timothy. It's in the pre-prison and the prison epistles, guys. But you know, when Jesus Christ first started His ministry, who was the predominant person that He was talking about? Himself. Go to Luke chapter 4 real quick. We're going to make an application here. We know this book's not written to us, but it's written for our learning and our admonition. Luke chapter 4. Go to verse 18. See what Christ said Himself when He started His ministry. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, Christ said, because He hath... Who is He? God hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He, God, hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. It was all about Him. That's the way it should have been. In the book of Acts, it demonstrates that the Lord Jesus Christ was the predominant subject of the preaching in the days of Peter's gospel. The word preached, preached and preaching is mentioned 37 times in the book of Acts. But every time it's about the death, the burial, and resurrection. But you know what? It doesn't say it was for forgiveness of our sins, does it? Not every time, no. The man, you heard that, the man. Women preachers are of no effect. And I love women, so don't think I'm discriminating against you. But the man who pretends to be a gospel preacher but doesn't preach Him, that's Christ, and Him crucified and raised from the dead, he mocks you when he speaks to you. And rather serving your souls to try to help you get saved, he's dooming and damning your souls and sending you to hell. He's just helping you on your way. He's helping Satan put you right there. You know, Satan doesn't really bother you, does he? Until you get saved. Then it seems like all hell broke loose. My goodness, I thought my life was going to be nothing but love, joy, and peace. And it is in the Spirit. But Satan just goes crazy. Like he's strung out on drugs and you shot him with a shotgun. He just keeps on coming back. I want to run over some scriptures real fast. Go with me to Acts chapter 20. I've heard somebody call this the second book of Luke. Is that right, guys? Acts chapter... Just kidding. Luke chapter 20, verse 27. I'm sorry. Did I say Luke? Oh, that's wrong. I'm totally wrong. Go to Acts chapter 20, verse 27. Oh. There's confusion amongst the people here now. I hear the mumblings. Paul says, "For I have not shunned to declare unto you that..." What's that next word? All. That's inclusive, isn't it? The counsel of God. Whatever Paul wrote in those 13 epistles, books, letters, however you want to say it, that's everything he was supposed to, and it's all the counsel of God. Everything you ever need to know, Paul wrote it right there. Don't add nothing to it. Don't take anything away from it now. You got too many people trying to add things to it. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 17, y'all know it by heart, but here's what it says. "For Christ sent me not to baptize," he's talking about with water, because we know we have all been baptized into the Christ's death, don't we? Did you know Christ was baptized twice? Huh? Once was in water. The second one was the baptism of death. That's Luke chapter 12, verse 9. No, verse 50. Twice. But you never heard that. But in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 17, "For Christ sent me not to baptize, but to do something. Preach the gospel." Didn't tell me to preach revelation to you. Didn't tell me to do anything else. He said, "Preach the gospel." Are you going to add something to the book and preach something else other than the gospel? You can preach the gospel, ain't no telling how many different ways, and it's fresh every time. Get tired of hearing the gospel? Get saved. Not with wisdom of words. Paul wasn't an eloquent speaker. He just happened to be a genius at the time, but studying under the feet of Gamaliel. He was a Jew of a Jew, as Jerry said last night. A Hebrew of the Hebrews. A Pharisee. His dad was a Pharisee, as you heard. Man, this guy had it together as far as the law. But he didn't have the wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect. You know, when I hear that, I think about that Joel Osteen, who has never, ever said the gospel. I don't even know if it's ever slipped out of his lips. And it had to slip if it came out at all. I wish the man would get saved. I'm going to be honest with you. He may be the last one and needs to be saved. I don't hate the man. I just hate what he's preaching. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 23. Let's read it. He says, "But we preach Christ crucified, unto the Jews a stumbling block, and unto the Greeks foolishness. But unto them which are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God." That's what we preach. Now, you know, go over to 1 Corinthians chapter 2, would you? 1 Corinthians chapter 2, and I apologize for having to go a little faster because I've got 3 hours worth of work to do here in 40 minutes. So, this is where we're at. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 2. "For I, Paul, determined not to know anything among you, save," that means except, "Jesus Christ and Him crucified." Why should I have to know anything about you other than hearing that testimony of I'm saved and I know how? It's a no-so salvation, not a think-so, hope-so. It is an absolute, I know it. For a fact. you can think you're saved and go to hell. If you ask people on the street, just do it sometime, amongst all your friends, are you saved? Well, yes, I am. Then the rubber's got to meet the road. How do you know? Uh-oh, they start backing up on you. And you know, most of them can't tell you. They've been going to this church their whole life. I went with my granddaddy, or my grandmother, whatever the case may be. Nobody seems to know that Jesus Christ died on the cross for them. Oh, they've heard that. But you know, if there had been any other way than the cross, he wouldn't have had to die. But there was no other way. You know, it would be a vicious God to send a man, his own son, into this world to die such a cruel death. And we take that very lightly. All we do is just read about it. You couldn't even know his face. His visage was marred so much you probably couldn't even tell he was a human being. But we read that and we just let it slide over us. You need to sometimes get by yourself and start studying these scriptures and get into the picture of it. In exactly what he did for you. Oh, it's horrible. But if there had been any other way, it would have been a vicious God that would have done that. Now, but why would I want to know anything among you other than Christ crucified? Paul didn't. What makes us different? 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 5. Paul says, "For we preach, not ourselves." You know, and I've had so many people. Matter of fact, my son-in-law was like this. He was a Baptist at one time. He's now a grace believer. But it didn't happen overnight. I started witnessing to him, and he says, "You guys follow the Apostle Paul. You worship the Apostle Paul." No, we don't worship the Apostle Paul. We follow Paul because he is the first in the body of Christ, and he got the revelations directly from Jesus Christ, the risen Savior. Yes, we follow Paul as Paul followed Jesus Christ. I mean, what's wrong with that? That's what God set up. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 5, "For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake." And all the preachers and all the teachers and everybody, all the saints, do you do that? Are you a servant of the Lord Jesus Christ? Think about it. What have you done in the service of the Lord Jesus Christ? We know the Scripture says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 20, I believe it is, that we're all ambassadors. Would you get fired because you're not doing your job if you were an ambassador for the United States in France or somewhere? Probably if you weren't doing your job. You know we're created unto good works. After we save, not to get saved, not to retain salvation, because we're all sealed until the day of redemption. It says so in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 13. It tells you again in Ephesians 4, 30, you're sealed. You cannot be lost. God cannot deny himself, can he? You have communion with God the moment you're saved. You've got all the spiritual blessings. As if you'd have been saved 75 years. The moment you trust Jesus Christ. The Bible tells you to set your mind on heavenly things, not earthly things. But do we really do that? Who wants to go out and play golf? Who wants to go boating? You know, when I go to church over in Milton now, I stop over to little Tom Thumb. And I buy donuts and things. And I go on over to the church. But while I'm there, I'm watching people gas up their boats. They don't even know it's Sunday other than they're not working. They could have a clue of what the Lord has done for them. It's life. It's life. The one thing, if you're a servant, if you are a servant of the Lord, the one thing that all God's servants have in common, we all have varying gifts and abilities, different characteristics, different personalities in different ministries. Some people can write. I don't like writing. Some people can get up in front of a crowd. I'm okay with that. Some people can do other things. But we all have one thing in common. What is that? All true gospel preachers have it. That's to preach this. Christ being crucified, buried, resurrected from the dead on the third day for your justification. We all have that in common. Every one of us. We can disagree on certain things out of the Scriptures. But you cannot disagree on that. There is no way. But you know, there is no apostles today. I've met one. Oh, yep. There is none. Nobody meets the criteria. And today's not the way to go into it, and I'm not going to. Nobody in here, and nobody that's been walking around on this earth here since the Apostle Paul and his apostles have met the criteria to become an apostle. No one has any supernatural gifts. I don't care what the prosperity preachers tell you and the healers and all that. These gifts are gone. When that which is perfect is come, and that's what it is, the Scripture. Paul says in Colossians 1:25, I fulfill the Word of God. Isn't that perfect now since you've got the complete Scripture? Oh yeah, it is. But we have problems with those people who believe in laying on of hands and special revelations. God spoke to me on the way here this morning. No, He didn't. He did not speak to me on the way up here. I asked Him for guidance and wisdom to get up and tell you the gospel. But He didn't speak to me saying, Wiggins, you know, you need to say this about 14 times. No, He didn't do it. No, He didn't. I want to tell you something here. I want to make a statement. True preaching. What is true preaching? It's God speaking to men or mankind by man, a preacher, about His Son with the Word of God. It can't be any other way. It's not going to happen any other way. I've just got to show you this. Go to 1 Timothy chapter 3. I don't believe this is off the subject, but if it is, bear with me. And when I mentioned Joyce Myers a while ago, 1 Timothy chapter 3. I'm not going to read but two verses here. That's verse 1 and 2. This is a true saying, Paul says. If a man, well, first off, it said man. It didn't say a man or a woman desire the office of a bishop, a preacher. He desireth a good work. Well, I didn't actually desire it. All I wanted to do was retire from the military and go north and play golf. But the Lord had a different plan. And you got to follow the plan if you're called. Now look, verse 2. A bishop then must be blameless, the husband of one wife. Do you know what? Is Joyce Myers a husband of one wife? Now, you don't even have to go to any other scriptures other than that one. And it nullifies women in the pulpit. And if it doesn't, I'm just wrong. Somebody's got to show me. Just thought you'd like to know. Now, I want you to go over to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. And you probably got all this memorized, which is wonderful. I don't try to memorize scriptures, but somehow it seems that I gather one here and there because I'm using them. And that's going to happen. It's kind of like listening to your favorite song. This is my favorite words. And if you're listening to your favorite song, then you pretty well, you can be in the shower and all of a sudden, my God, where did that song come from? You're singing it. And if a band is playing and all of a sudden you say, you're singing right along with them. Cut the radio off and you can't remember a thing. So, this is our, what I call the Greater Commission, but that's not what I was going here for. But go over to verse 18. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 18. All things are of God. Now, don't you ever doubt that. All things. That's inclusive. There is not one thing that's not of God. Because before the foundation of the world, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, before He ever spoke anything into existence, got together. They looked down the future eternity, pipes of eternity, and they saw some things. And I'm going to talk to you about it shortly. But all things are of God, who hath what? Reconciled, brought us back together. Sin separated us in the garden. The sin of disobedience. It separated us from God. We could not have any communion. God cannot have communion with a sinful man or woman. Who hath reconciled us to Himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given us the ministry of reconciliation. That's what we're supposed to be telling people. To wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto Himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them. That's what it says. Praise God that He's not putting my trespasses upon me. I got a lot of them. And as Jerry said last night, I deserve to be in hell. That's what scared me into getting saved. I'll be honest, I was under conviction. I was scared that I was going to hell. Didn't want to go to hell. Couldn't find a way out of hell. I had walked the aisle for Jesus, got baptized, realized I was going to hell. It's kind of like one of the preachers up in my Alabama class. I got two sitting in my class. And one of them was a Church of God minister. And he said he had some doubts about that. He was an ordained Church of God minister. He said, you know, I started asking the higher-ups in the denomination about, he said, I'm bothered by this scripture. He said, well, look, you know, if it bothers you, just don't teach it. Oh, yeah. I said, it's testimony. I mean, it. And that's the way they do. Sweep it under the rug. If it bothers you, don't even go there. And, you know, how many times in a straight Baptist, Methodist, whatever kind of denominational system that you're involved in, how many times have you ever heard somebody out here, hey, preacher, wait a minute, I don't quite understand it. You don't hear that. They keep their mouth shut. But we do. Man, I've got two classes, and they sometimes they're running rampant out there asking questions. And I like the questions. Except when someone tries to take the class over that way. But we have to deal with that. Now, but you can see what Paul says, that this reconciliation, this ministry of reconciliation, has been committed unto us. Who's us? The saints of God. If you're saved in here today, it's to you. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, verse 20, as though God did beseech, ask, but it is, you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead. Be ye reconciled to God, for He hath made Him. Who is He? God hath made Him, Jesus Christ, to be sin for us. Me, you, your little babies, everybody. Who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. I'm 100% righteous. That's my position in Christ. I'm a son of God. God going to deny me? If you don't believe it, just don't go there right now, but read it on your own. Go to Romans chapter 8 and start around verse 14. Read through 18. See what happens. You're going to find out you're a joint heir with Christ. You're going to tell me I can lose my salvation? Go jump in a lake. Now, we have the righteousness of God. You know, and sometimes the righteousness of God is always perfect. Not just sometimes, but sometimes we are bothered by what we do in the flesh. We know we're saved. I've got a guy that's sitting under me, and he says, I don't believe in the law for salvation, but I believe in keeping the law. The law is good. But if you could have kept it in the first place, he said, I believe I can keep it perfectly. Okay, you believe that. Because you can't. If you could have, Jesus Christ died in vain, didn't He? Now, hadn't said a lot, but the fact of it is, I'm going to tell you, right now is a crossroads in your life. I mean this moment, this instant is a crossroads in your life. You have just heard the gospel of the grace of God. There may be somebody that can preach it better, but they cannot preach a better gospel because there is no better gospel. You've got to make a determination, you who are lost in here. And I believe there may be one or two or more in here that are lost, hopefully under conviction. You've got a chance to trust the Lord Jesus Christ right now or reject Him. If you reject Him and you was to get killed on the way home, you're going to hell. I'm not trying to scare you. I'm telling you the facts. The lake of fire and brimstone out of Revelation 20, when those people meet over there at the great white throne judgment, guess what? They're doomed and damned and headed for eternal condemnation in the lake of fire. I personally don't want anybody going, but it's not my wish. The will of the Father is that all men be saved and come unto the knowledge of the truth. But all men, He didn't will it to come to pass, or it would be, as some people think. I'm going to tell you, the annihilation theory doesn't hold any water. A lot of people believe, oh, when we pass out of this life, it's over, it's done. No, it isn't. It's just starting. This is a preliminary. It's just starting. So make your determination whether you want to trust Christ today, right this moment. And if you don't, why don't you trust Christ this moment? What's keeping you from it? It's a free gift. It says the wages of sin is death, 6:23 of Romans. The wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life. Don't put it off any longer like I did. There's plenty of people in here that's put it off and put it off and put it off, and they finally did it. But your life is going to be full of love, joy, and peace, and yes, afflictions once you get saved, persecutions amongst your fellow people that you know, family, friends. But what's more important, that or being saved eternally? I'm going to leave you with that. But I pray if you're lost in here right now, you will trust Jesus Christ. Nothing's keeping you from it except your unbelief. Trust the Lord right now. Thank you, guys.